Monday as well. Highs in the mid-40s. Right now, it's 28.
Leaning into local radio. 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Easter Sunday services in Vatican City. Despite new concerns about his health, Pope Francis in St. Peter's Square this morning, leading Easter Mass just days after the 87-year-old skipped the way of the cross procession on Good Friday. The dangerous work begins in Baltimore. Crews have begun dismantling the fallen Francis Scott Key Bridge, first step in removing the wreckage from the container ship that struck the bridge 6 days ago. Ceasefire talks set to resume today between Hamas and Israel. The two sides are set to meet in Egypt to try to work out a pause to the nearly 6 months of war in the Gaza Strip and the release of the remaining hostages. Hamas is believed to be holding about 100 hostages and the bodies of about 30 other people who were killed. And California today set to raise its minimum wage for fast food workers tomorrow to $20 per hour. That would make it the highest in the country. This is ABC News. At least two people died in a small plane crash in Truckee, California. Authorities say the single-engine aircraft crashed Saturday evening while trying to land at Truckee Tahoe Airport. The number of people on board the aircraft has not been confirmed. The NTSB and FAA will be at the crash site today investigating what went wrong. Chocolate Easter bunnies may be costing more. The price of cocoa beans has doubled since January.
There's a drastic drop in the supply. Most cocoa beans are grown in West Africa, where severe weather and plant disease have hit farmers hard. In Ghana, Cocoa Marketing Board spokesman Fifi Bober says many farmers are giving up ground to gold miners.
If you consider the number of farms that have been destroyed, clearly the impact is one that is enormous.
He says some of the mining's illegal. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
And no one won last night's Powerball jackpot, so Monday night's drawing now estimated to be worth a cool $975 million. It's more than $471 million if you take the cash value. Dave Packer, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. March Madness is in full swing. Playing the brackets can be fun, but as Mike Moan reports, some people can get addicted to gambling.
A 2018 U.S. Supreme Court ruling paved the way for states to decide if they want to legalize sports betting. That helped fuel the presence of online platforms where people can place wagers through their smartphones. Wisconsin limits live bets to tribal casinos, but bettors can flock to some neighboring states for online access. Rose Blazinski of the Wisconsin Council on Problem Gambling says they're neutral on these laws, but still have concerns.
We know that more people are going to do it, and we also know that more people are going to become addicted to gambling.
To protect yourself from falling into traps, prevention experts recommend only betting what you can afford. And if troubling patterns emerge, they suggest things like deleting betting apps and switching to flip phones. Nearly 40 states allow some form of sports betting, but some do have restrictions for college games. The financial impacts of problem gambling can be obvious, but Blazinski notes that compulsive gamblers also have a higher suicide rate. And with mobile betting marketed toward young adults, she says this demographic should be considered high risk.
They're at a time in their life where they're high risk takers to start, and gambling fits right in with that, especially the sports betting. It makes them feel important. If you're winning, you can brag to all your friends.
Industry leaders note their ads come with disclosures about problem gambling and where to seek help, but prevention experts say they're not easy to understand, and they call for more broader funding to carry out assistance programs. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Here's another community reminder from Civic Media.
Hop on into the Park Falls Library on Friday, March 29th for a visit with everyone's favorite carrot muncher, the Easter Bunny. The bunny will be available for pictures from 9:30 to 11 a.m. in their fabulous auditorium, and kids can also enjoy a short story time starting at around 10:15. You won't want to miss this excellent opportunity for some springtime fun. Again, that is Friday, March 29th at the Park Falls Public Library, where knowledge is free. Just bring your own container.
Leaning into local radio, 98Q Country.
Marquette season comes. comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Marquette was favored to win, but lost to NC State 67-58. Head coach Shaka Smart on what's next.
I don't know. We just lost in the Sweet 16. I'm not really focused on legacy. I did tell the guys after the game in the locker room that, you know, our two seniors, Tyler Kolick and Osa Iguodaro, it's been an absolute honor to coach this entire group. The worst thing about losing today is that, you know, we don't have practice tomorrow. We don't have another game to prepare for.
Marquette's Tyler Kolick asked this after the game.
Tyler, like, how do you balance your individual accomplishments over the last couple of seasons?
I mean, not many people make it to the Sweet 16. You know, I'm just happy to be out there every time with my guys. Like Coach said, I'm just disappointed that it's over.
Baseball, the Brewers win again, 7-6 over the Mets. Milwaukee with 16 hits on Saturday. Elvis Peguero, the winning pitcher. The Brewers home opener Tuesday afternoon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. On this Easter Sunday, plenty of clouds to deal with. We'll see a west to southwest wind on the light side with highs in the mid-40s. Overnight, those clouds stay put. Lower 20s will keep the light winds around. Still plenty of clouds on Monday as well. Highs in the mid-40s. Right now, it's 28.
This week on Viewpoints.
It's everything from not being able to read a newspaper article to not being able to understand a job instruction manual or a credit card agreement or a lease agreement.
The long-term effects of never learning how to properly read. Then,
what they're basically telling us as a speaker and a listener is, hold on, I need a lot of neural activation for this.
The deeper meaning behind our uhs and ums. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season, you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. Yeah. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah! Switch to Straight Talk. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Taxes and fees apply.
Each week on the Viewpoints Radio podcast, you'll hear from our leading experts on an important topic within education, history, society, psychology, and more.
If you can show a good money personality, one where you've got good values around how you acquire, how you use, and how you manage money, those patterns will be passed along generations.
Viewpoints Radio podcast is produced by our team of award-winning journalists. Subscribe today by searching Viewpoints Radio wherever you listen to podcasts. It's no secret that learning to read early on is a critical skill. The ability to read well and understand the information in front of you is a key part of higher level learning, getting a job, and so on. Yet, despite this, reading literacy has fallen off a cliff over the last 20 years. As of 2022, national testing showed that about 60% of U.S. children are testing below proficiency in reading. Out of this group, 40% are essentially non-readers, according to data from the Urban Institute's National Assessment of Educational Progress. In many cases, these students often never get the help they need and are pushed through and out of the system.
It is kind of a check-the-box approach, which really has not worked and explains a lot of why our reading test scores have been so dismal. With only about a third of students testing at the proficient level or above, 20 years now or more, and more than a third are testing below the basic level on national tests.
That's Natalie Wexler, an education expert and author of the book, The Knowledge Gap, The Hidden Cause of America's Broken Education System and How to Fix It. Wexler zeroes in on traditional reading comprehension curriculums, arguing that the approach is outdated and broken.
Reading comprehension has been seen by educators as a set of skills and strategies that you can just practice. It doesn't really matter what you're reading, as long as it's at your individual reading level, so you can read it pretty independently. And you're practicing skills like finding the main idea of a text or making inferences. And this goes on, this kind of practice, elementary and sometimes middle school students do it for hours every week. And the theory is that if a kid gets really good at finding the main idea of a text, that he or she will be able to apply that skill to find the main idea, understand any text, maybe a textbook down the road in high school or a passage on an end of the year reading comprehension test. But in fact, cognitive scientists have known for a long time that is actually not how reading comprehension works. What is more important than skill is how much relevant knowledge the reader has relevant to the text. And it could be knowledge of the topic, or it could be general academic knowledge and vocabulary and familiarity with the complex sentence structure of written language. And we haven't been teaching those things because we've just had kids practicing these supposed skills on really simple, easy-to-read texts.
She says that part of the problem is that there's always been a divide between education administrators and cognitive scientists studying learning. Another persistent issue is that there's no defined national curriculum. Even within one state, there can be drastic subject variation from district to district. In countries with a centralized plan, everyone's on the same page.
If you have such a curriculum, first of all, you can train teachers to teach that curriculum well before they get into the classroom. You can also ensure that all kids are getting the same knowledge, no matter what socioeconomic background they're coming from. And they're not getting, you know, Charlotte's Web 3 years in a row because teachers really like that book or whatever. They're covering in a logical, coherent way a range of topics, and everybody's getting the same information. And so that helps really to level the playing field. It's never going to entirely make up for socioeconomic differences, but we know that countries that have that kind of curriculum, there is more equity in their education systems.
Because of our disjointed approach in the U.S., many teachers are guided to cover certain niche skills that show up on national standardized tests. This scattered focus doesn't do much to actually help students in the long term.
What needs to change is what's being put in the foreground. So instead of trying to teach the skill of, and there are a bunch of them, comparing and contrasting, determining author's purpose, all of these things, instead of trying to teach that skill directly and bringing in a text to read aloud that is supposed to help kids learn that skill, and then they go off and try to practice that skill on a bunch of other different texts on random topics, choose a text, and ideally this is going to be one of a series of texts about a specific topic, and bring in whatever skills, strategies are appropriate to help students really think about and understand that text.
Reading options also need to be better tailored to a child's current reading level. While one student may be reading at an eighth grade level, another may be lagging far behind.
I saw a statistic in a study that by the time kids get to, I think it was eighth or ninth grade, the gap between the kids from the lowest socioeconomic group and the highest socioeconomic group is equivalent to about 5 years of learning. And so every year that goes by, this gap between the good readers and the poor readers actually gets wider and wider, because those good readers, and it's not that the poor readers couldn't become good readers, but they're not getting the instruction they need to become good readers. They are able to read more complex texts. They're also able to retain new vocabulary, new information from those texts, because knowledge sticks best to something that it's related to.
By the time kids get to high school, the curriculum already assumes a lot of background knowledge. By this point, it's hard to go back and lay a foundation. At the end of the day, schools need to do a better job. If you're a parent to a child and listening, Wexler offers some tips on how you can aid reading skills at home.
There is a lot that parents can do. Reading aloud, of course, reading aloud from texts that your child couldn't read on their own is really important to introduce them to that more elevated or more sophisticated vocabulary and sentence structure. And then having conversations about the text, because in order for kids to really absorb information, they need to talk about it. They need to use the vocabulary they just heard. So having those conversations is crucial. And it's not just about books. You can have conversations about rocks when you're taking a walk in the park, or insects, or whatever. So that back and forth dialogue between an adult and a child is really laying the foundation for reading comprehension in years to come.
And some people might argue that this ability isn't as important as it used to be. After all, you can Google endlessly, and there's an AI to help break down complex info. But others, including Wexler, argue that it's still a massive disadvantage.
Most of the learning that you're expected to do at upper grade levels and in college is through reading books. And if you cannot do that, you're going to be at a real disadvantage. You may be playing catch up, or you may just give up. But beyond school, there are some real life consequences of not being able to understand more complex text. And we have many, many adults in this country who are in that position. And it's everything from not being able to read a newspaper article to not being able to understand a job instruction manual or a credit card agreement or a lease agreement.
As an adult, it is possible to improve your reading proficiency. However, it's much more difficult. That's why it's so important to instill these foundational skills early on.
We're wasting this golden opportunity in these early grades because kids are so curious about all sorts of things about the world, and they are sponges. They absorb this vocabulary, and they are very proud of having that sophisticated vocabulary.
To find out more about this topic, other resources, and our guest, Natalie Wexler, head to viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes and to support our show, follow us on Instagram, X, and Facebook at Viewpoints Radio. This story originally aired in October 2023 and was written by our executive producer, Ramiro Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price. This segment is brought to you by Jackson Hewitt. Why are people saying hoo-yeah to Jackson Hewitt? When you switch to Jackson Hewitt, they will beat what you paid last year on tax prep, even if you filed online. Proof of prior year payment required on filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com.
Coming up, a sociolinguist joins us to help us understand the purpose those pesky us, then you knows play in the English language when Viewpoints returns.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Join Macy's and Girls Inc. now during Women's History Month and help empower young women and girls. Throughout March, you can round up your in-store purchase to the nearest dollar or donate online to help us support Girls Inc. Since 2020, we've raised over $5.7 million to prepare 220,000 Girls Inc. participants to pursue their dreams. Give back today, shop women-owned brands, and find out how we're creating brighter futures for all at Macy's.com/purpose.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a new Samsung Galaxy A15 for just $99. So you can give your janky phone to your kid. Yeah!
Good talk.
Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. In-store activation on single Silver Unlimited plan or higher required. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Oh, O'Reilly.
Is your mower's battery weak or dead after winter storage? Get your mower ready for spring lawn maintenance at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, purchase any SuperStart lawn and garden battery and get a $10 gift card after rebate. Choose SuperStart batteries for power, performance, and reliability exclusively at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We've all been there. It's 3 p.m. and you're sitting in a meeting room or on a Zoom call where the person presenting can't stop saying, like, you know, or another set of filler words. It can feel distracting, mind-numbing, and you might be wondering, did this person even prepare before this call? This scenario is common enough that you've likely been there yourself. Speaking in a public setting or having a difficult conversation can naturally result in more of these words pushing their way into the crevices of your sentences. Although it can be embarrassing or frustrating, these words are in fact a natural human reaction. In order to use them less, it's important to understand why they're in our vocabulary in the first place. Despite common belief, filler terms such as like that go in between words have been around for several centuries. Today, some experts are coming out in defense of these despised fillers. One of these people is sociolinguist Valerie Friedland. She argues that this style of speaking plays a specific purpose.
To help us with social signaling and to help us with communicating facts about our social identities and our experience in ways that language didn't previously. So things like and literally used non-literally that we tend to really cringe about when we hear it in young people's speech, for example. Both of those came along because they were meeting needs that were unmet previously in the language, particularly for the speakers that use them.
Friedland is a professor of linguistics in the English department at the University of Nevada, Reno, and is an expert in American English and its variability across different regions of the U.S. She's also the author of the new book, Like Literally Dude, Arguing for the Good in Bad English.
I'm a sociolinguist, which means I study the underlying principles and patterns of language like a theoretical linguist, looking across all languages to see what they share and where they differ and what this means for how we process language and how we say sounds. But I'm particularly interested in the social angle of that. How do social facts about us change the way that we present ourselves through language and change the course of language over time?
She points to the example of the word like, which in the quoted verb means to say.
To say generally is a verbatim quote. So if I tell you what someone said, you can anticipate that that's pretty much replicating what they actually said. But to say I was like instead of I said, it indicates that maybe it's not even something you said, but how you were processing an event while it was happening or what you were thinking while it was happening. And so it gives us more flexibility in projecting thoughts, ideas, and processing over the verb to say. So as you can see, it actually met an unmet need, which the verb to say didn't offer.
Across society, certain words, such as like or have gained a bad reputation because they convey that a person is unprepared, uncertain, or feeling anxious. This language also plays into a certain social stereotype, one where the person is loosely labeled as a basic valley girl.
The valley girl stereotype that was really pervaded in the general American imagination in the 1980s was led by Frank Zappa and his daughter Moon Unit, who had that song, Valley Girl. I don't think most Americans at the time really knew about valley girls, but that song really projected them into the national consciousness. And of course, one of the features that they used really readily in that song was like, both quotative like and discourse particle like. And so I think that's when people started to notice it. And it's something called the recency illusion, that once you hear something, you hear it seemingly everywhere.
Friedland argues that like and other similar terms actually hold a deeper historical significance and are in the English language for a reason.
And like, not as a quotative verb, which is fairly recent, but like as a discourse particle. So the ones we hear just sort of scattered in at the beginning of sentences or in the middle of sentences, things such as, like, I don't really know if I'm going to do that. Those kinds of likes, those actually have been in our language for centuries. Some of the earliest records we have of them date back to the 1700s, used in much the same way as we use them today.
Similar to like, terms such as also play a very specific purpose. While the general public calls these filler words, Friedland says that in linguistic terms, they're referred to as discourse markers.
And are actually filled pauses or hesitation markers, and they're substantively different than things like and you know, or even discourse particles like well or so. Because what they do is they seem to come as a flag for cognitive processing. And what they're basically telling us as a speaker and a listener is, hold on, I need a lot of neural activation for this. And so I'm going to pause for just a minute and come up with the more difficult, more abstract, less familiar, or less common term, or I'm going to construct a really fancy sentence syntactically. So it's going to take my brain a minute to do all that processing. And we find really interesting patterns when we look at how they're used. They're typically used before more difficult things. So when speakers are putting more effort into what they're saying by using complex, difficult words, by using larger sentences, that's when we find them to be more common.
But what's the useful part of this? Shouldn't we try to speed up and be as efficient as possible? Or instead try to replace these fillers with pauses of silence? The short answer is no. But before we get to that, it's necessary to point that these fillers shouldn't be overdone. It's definitely distracting and frustrating to the listener if there's several peppered into a conversation. It's more beneficial, on the other hand, if it's an occasional inclusion. The key is moderation. Okay, back to explaining why fillers like or are better than a pause.
It seems to flag to a listener some very, very, very important information. First, it flags that someone's taking a moment but still going to continue their turn. If they pause silently, then it might be mistaken as a turn transition cue, which would mean that the speaker is done with their turn and the listener can jump in. But if I say or it signals to the listener not only that I need a minute and I'm not done, but also, interestingly enough, how long a delay to expect. So when I it means I'm going to come right back. It's a short delay. But when I use we find that the pause that's after the is slightly longer, meaning that someone needs more time to cognitively process. So it gives really interesting cues to a listener. And by working as a flag to a listener that the speaker is doing some really intellectually deep stuff, it also prepares the listener to do heftier cognitive processing on their end. And that actually serves to help them process new information more quickly.
So the next time you're hard on yourself for all of those so's, wells, or you know's, think about why you put them in there. Could you have switched out several with a pause or breath instead? Or reset your rhythm with a sip of water? The first step to improving your articulation is by becoming more cognizant of how you speak. To find out more about this topic and our guest Valerie Friedland, visit viewpointsradio.org. Also, check out her book, Like Literally Dude, Arguing for the Good in Bad English, now available in select bookstores and online. For more behind the scenes, search Viewpoints Radio on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. This segment was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment. Each week on the Viewpoints Radio podcast, you'll hear from our leading experts on an important topic within education, history, society, psychology, and more.
If you can show a good money personality, one where you've got good values around how you acquire, how you use, and how you manage money, those patterns will be passed along generations.
Viewpoints Radio podcast is produced by our team of award-winning journalists. Subscribe today by searching Viewpoints Radio wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season, you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. Yeah. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah! Switch to Straight Talk. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Taxes and fees apply.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. How often do you exercise? 2, 3, or even 5 times a week? Maybe the number is zero and you like to get back into the gym. Today, fewer than 25% of Americans meet the minimum guidelines for physical activity. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends everyone get about 2.5 hours per week of moderate exercise, like biking, walking, or tennis. If you're doing a vigorous activity like running or swimming laps, the number falls to 1 hour and 15 minutes per week. On top of that, the CDC also recommends at least 2 days of muscle strengthening exercises like lifting weights, Pilates, or uphill walking. Historically, women have lagged behind men when it comes to meeting these standards. Now, a new study published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology asks whether these one-size-fit-all requirements could be better tailored to different sexes. The study analyzed exercise data from 400,000 people. Researchers found that only about 1 in 5 women do strength training exercises 2 to 3 days a week. However, this group in particular had a 30% reduction in cardiovascular death. The study concluded that for women in particular, regular weight training extended life expectancy and decreased the risk of premature death from heart disease. More research is needed to confirm the study's results, but in the meantime, it might be worthwhile to invest in a new set of weights. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Now that award season is fully behind us and Dune Part 2 has been out for a while, many film enthusiasts are nervously wondering what comes next. Because of the prolonged strikes that shut down Hollywood last year, there's a worry about a lack of compelling titles at your local theater in 2024. But I'm not so sure that's what's going to happen, because already this year I've been surprised by a movie I wasn't heavily anticipating but ended up loving, called Love Lies Bleeding. The Kristen Stewart starring film is the second movie from writer-director Rose Glass, who is also behind the 2019 film Saint Maud. Love Lies Bleeding is a genre-bending romantic crime thriller that tells the story of a gym manager and a bodybuilder who fall in love in 1989. The movie harkens back to crime thrillers like Blood Simple and Bound. Mixing love, crime, and a heavy dose of body horror, Love Lies Bleeding is just the first of many sleeper candidates to become personal favorites this year. In April alone, there are several movies I'm looking forward to. First up will be Monkey Man, a revenge action thriller from Dev Patel that's being compared to John Wick, about a fighter in Mumbai who takes his vengeance on corruption, and that movie is set for release on April 5th. On April 12th, audiences will get to see Civil War, the next movie from Alex Garland starring Kirsten Dunst about a future dystopian America that's broken into a second civil war. On April 26th, we'll get to see Challengers, a love triangle romance movie set in the world of tennis from director Luca Guadagnino and starring Zendaya. In May, we'll see The Fall Guy starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, then a new Planet of the Apes movie, then Furiosa, the next installment in George Miller's Mad Max saga. In June, a sequel to Inside Out will hit theaters, followed by a prequel in the A Quiet Place universe. I could go on and on, but the point is this. 2023 was a great year for movies, and 2024 was feared to be a slowdown. But now that the year's underway, we're seeing plenty of evidence that actually there's a lot to look forward to at your local Cineplex. Just don't forget the popcorn. I'm Evan Ruck.
It's game day at Jim's house, and the spread is impressive.
Mike's already done some damage with the hot wings, and now he's dropping back and going deep for another slice of pizza.
I sure hope he brought the Pepto.
Mike knows the Pepto-Bismol provides fast, 5-symptom relief from unexpected stomach upsets. He's no rookie.
The way he's throwing back those nachos, he's the GOAT.
Be ready for game day with Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Join Macy's and Girls, Inc. now during Women's History Month and help empower young women and girls. Throughout March, you can round up your in-store purchase to the nearest dollar or donate online to help us support Girls, Inc. Since 2020, we've raised over $5.7 million to prepare 220,000 Girls, Inc. participants to pursue their dreams. Give back today, shop women-owned brands, and find out how we're creating brighter futures for all at Macy's.com/purpose.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
It's
every 10 minutes like you hear on the other stations.
Go ahead and turn it up.
Yeah, but
98Q Country.
Yesterday's classics, 98 Q Country.
Yeah.
square in the middle of your arms.
Make Easter Sunday extra special at Park Falls Family Restaurant. Treat yourself to a delicious Easter dinner with options like baked ham, roasted pork, roasted turkey, or baked chicken. All dinners include your choice of potato soup or salad. From Jesus and Josefina, we wish you a happy Easter. And as a sweet treat, enjoy a complimentary piece of pecan pie on us. Join us at the Park Falls Family Restaurant in Park Falls, Wisconsin, and celebrate Easter in style.
Get it done right the first time with CNR Power Sports. Come see Carl on Ash Street in Park Falls when your boat, ATV, UTV, snowmobile, or even lawnmowers, snowblowers, chainsaws, and all other small engines won't start or run right. From light tune-up to full teardown and engine rebuild, Carl will bring his 30-plus years of experience to every job you bring him. CNR Power Sports is also the area's only factory-authorized warranty service center for Generac and DR brand equipment. Bring all makes and models. Look up CNR Power Sports on Google or give Carl a call at 608-228-7223. Find Carl where Ash Street meets the Tuscobia Trail. CNR Power Sports, your trusty pit stop for top-notch care.
Shawamigan Home Furnishings has a full showroom with a wide variety of furniture ready to go out the door. Mattresses with two-sided options are available. Over 50 recliners to choose from. Futons, sectionals, sofas, love seats, Amish and up north style furniture, as well as full bedroom and dining sets. Everything is in stock and available without delay. Go to their website, ShawamiganHomeFurnishings.com. Check them out on Facebook too for more specials. Shawamigan Home Furnishings, downtown Park Falls and Main Street, Ashland, Wisconsin. This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. On this Easter Sunday, plenty of clouds to deal with. We'll see a west to southwest wind on the light side with highs in the mid-40s. Overnight, those clouds stay put. Lower 20s will keep the light winds around. Still plenty of clouds on Monday as well. Highs in the mid-40s. Right now, it's 28.
Here we go.
It's March Music Madness.
Three from the right top.
While we find out who's number one in the country.
Number one.
Number one.
We'll keep on playing country's number one.
It's my number one radio station.
98Q Country.
We've been swinging and missing. It ain't broke yet, but damn, it needs fixing. Been a while since your kiss felt like kissing. It's just different. We've been talking about forever since we've been together. Something about a ring makes you think we're better off with all this, but we're caught in between a rock.
98QCountry.com.
silver linings in the clouds. And if it starts to rain, I don't worry about a thing. I pull my rose-colored Ray-Bans out. I got some rust on my Chevy, but it's ready to roll. I got a rhinestone sky and a song in my soul. It ain't a smooth ride life, it's a winding road. Yeah, it might be gravel, but it feels like gold. Yeah, it feels like gold. Yeah, it feels like gold. It ain't a smooth ride life, it's a winding road. Yeah, it might be gravel, but it feels like gold.
Listen online at 98QCountry.com.
Let your boys be country. Let them keep that red dirt on his boots. Make him proud of that little nowhere he's got down in his room. Raise them hard, raise them tough, bring them up to have their brothers back. Let them ride around in trucks, make them back road noise. Let them hang out on Friday, get wild with the boys. Let them go to the woods in the cold, paint it up camo green. Yeah, let them chase, let them fall for a small town girl.
Singing every word of it, so you bring a couple shots of chill patrol.